is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. But we can just find it.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we're live. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And I'm here to do my favorite thing, introduce you to a new News for the Soul radio host and new News for the Soul show. So the new show, White Light Healer. The new host is Denise Exler. We unpeel the onion from the outside with our famous first question. And let's get it rolling. Denise, welcome to News for the Soul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
This is exciting. Yay. Here's our famous first question. The reason I asked this is it's the place that connects us as a movement and community that's now in its 25th year. Oh, my God. Quarter of a century of exploration. And it's, you know, wanting to really know what's really real and what's really possible, plain and simple. So I always ask people what kind of experiences they've had outside the 3D norm, the ones we don't talk about except in certain company, but we're going to talk about it now. You know, something that was outside the 3D norm of what we're told is possible that got our attention, maybe even changed our lives, who knows? So whatever your earliest recollection of something is, and also your most profound, wherever you'd like to start, we're all ears.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, a lot has happened, and I guess I'm older than I think I am because I was trying to think of some, and I was like, oh my gosh, this happened. But as a child, I guess the earliest experience was that I saw a past life of mine, and it was a very, very profound dream. I guess I was about 3 years old, and I saw myself as a Roman soldier walking down a road, and we were walking in pairs, and we were walking down this dusty road with olive trees on each side, and I was wearing, like, we were all wearing the helmets with the white or with the red feathers or whatever that brushy thing is on the top that kind of starts at the front, the forehead, and curls around. And I was wearing a helmet, and I was wearing the cape, the red cape. And so I was watching us march, and then all of a sudden the scene changed, and I was in battle. I was swinging a sword, and then I felt this spear go into my armpit. And I could feel how cold it was, like the cold metal going in my armpit and into my heart. And then I died, and then I left my body, and then I woke up. And I go, you know, and I, you know, you're 3 years old. I don't know what a Roman soldier is or,
right.
You know, so years later I thought of that and I go, wow. But,
so that's,
you know, I
pretty
up,
cool. I, you know, this is 25 years. It's the first past life as a child memory story I've heard, if you can imagine that. So that's, it's very specific. Do you remember anything about when you left your body? Other than just, or did you just wake up right away?
I just woke up right away. Dang. I guess it was just showing me that there's life after war. I just left. And as a child, I used to hear voices, and I used to hear violins and fiddles playing in the middle of the night. And when I got older and my parents were able to leave me on my own, when they went out, you know, electronics would turn on by themselves. Mm-hmm. I'd hear footsteps in the house. And my sister heard it too, and she would say, oh, they're home. We would hear like the door sort of open and footsteps come in, but and then they would stop. So a lot of paranormal things would happen, but it was years later that I met my guides. But what also happened to me as a child was that my life was saved, and I did have protection around me. So I've had a few times where my life has been saved.
So tell us about that. What happened?
Well, when I was about 9 or 10, I lived by a body of water, and there was broken ice. And this is how the 10-year-old brain works. Someone had written in the snow, I fell through. And then the ice had frozen over, and I walked on it, and I was jumping on it. Go, no, it's frozen. They didn't fall through. And then I fell through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I went down, and all of a sudden, it was like I jumped out. I jumped out of the body of water onto the ice, and then and you're in shock, so you're not thinking, how did I get out? But then later, I felt like I was lifted out. It was like hands and arms just lifted me out, and because I popped right out right away.
Wow.
And I looked back. Yeah, and another time I was driving, when I was older, I was a sales rep, and I was really in a hurry to get to an appointment, and there was a truck with mattresses in the back. I remember that, and it was going so slow, and I was an A-type personality. I've just got to get around, and my car started to slow, and it was backing away, like it was, so the truck was pulling ahead, and I was just slowly moving forward, and I put the pedal to the metal. Like, I pressed that accelerator down, and nothing happened, and then all of a sudden, the mattresses flew off the truck, and this transport truck was coming the other way, headed my direction, and it blew by, and then I realized if I had tried to go around that mattress truck, I would have had a head-on. And then right after that, my car worked perfectly. So it was just things like that, or people would come up to me and they would say, oh, you're one of the detectives. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a metaphor in there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we have a similar team experience. I always picture mine because I've got similar stories as well. And I always picture mine going, oh, God, what's she doing now? Okay, I'm on it.
Oh, exactly.
Exasperated. So what was your next story?
My next story? I was just mentioning that people would come up to me and say, oh, you're one of the protected. And I never understood what that meant. But I think it was just that I had God's light around me, and unsavory people, I guess they sense that or whatever, or working in the dark arts, whatever. But I've been very, very blessed in my life. But we were speaking about profound, and I was like, do I mention this?
Yay.
it's not all unicorns and butterfly wings.
It usually is not. Yeah, no, that usually is the case. So we're good. Yeah, let's get real.
Okay. Okay. I will get real. So, it's two ends of the spectrum. I met those from the light, but I also met Lucifer. And so that was both very, very profound. It was in a matter of months, different ends of the spectrum. So when I met Lucifer or Satan or whatever, you know, that the dark agent, whatever you want to refer to, we had a house trailer. We were having a custom house built, and I had hurt my shoulder. So my husband was sleeping in the main bed, and I slept at the other end of the trailer on a lower bunk because, you know, if someone turns, it hurts your shoulder. So I was sleeping alone. And a friend of mine at the time, a very, very dear friend, was in very chronic depression. And I was afraid, you know, she wouldn't make it out of that. And I remember saying, I'll do, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And anyways, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was this presence standing over me. And it went right through the top bunk. And I could see that it was this dark outline. And it had, it was huge. And it had a head with horns on it. And it looked at me. And I wasn't afraid for some reason. I was just like, what do you want? Like, I'm kind of upset. You woke me up. I don't know why I was like that, but I just said, what do you want? And he says, your friend, you love her, don't you? And I said, of course I do. And he said, I can help her. I can give her the life where she'll never have any other worries, where she'll be free from her depression, where she will have all the money. She will have everything. And I was asked, do you want to make a deal? Do you want to make a deal?
Huh.
And I said, no, I won't make a deal with you. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I will never make a deal with you. And he wasn't threatening. He just went, okay. And he just kind of faded away. And I looked over and I saw Yeshua, or some people say Jesus, and I saw Michael. And I said, why didn't you step in? Why would you let this happen? You know, and I was kind of taken back, and I was told, you need to understand what you'll be dealing with. You need to understand. And I went, oh, okay. And that was about 4 years ago. And now I do understand because of what's going on in the world. Everything's coming to the forefront. A lot, you know, is coming out. And, you know, it is the Great Awakening, and we do have to deal with some of these dark energies, like to free the world and, you know, to rise above, to bring us into the good times. And I don't think it's all dark and it's whatever. It's we have to be in love. We have to be in love, and we have to recognize when we're not, we feed these energies. And nothing can hide in love or light. And that was just sort of a lesson for me. And the other profound one was, I was involved with a group, and I kept being shown these books, The Lost Sisterhood, Anna, the Grandmother of Jesus, all these different things. And I started to get memories of myself back then. And I remember I went to this mediumship circle, and they wanted everybody to astral travel or leave your body or journey or whatever. And I remember coming back, and I was angry. And I was angry with Yeshua at the time. And I said, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go through with this. You don't have to do this. You know, like, they're going to murder you. And I don't want to offend anyone if this goes against what they believe. Just take what, you know, resonates with you and discard the rest. This is my story. So anyway, so I was doing healing circles for women, and I was down in Florida, and I do drumming at the end. I do shamanic drum healing, and everybody's on yoga mats, and they're in this outdoor pavilion, and they're zoned out. And I have this in the middle of the circle, I have a little altar, and it has beautiful candles on it and crystals and whatever. And I remember drumming, and I was looking across, and I saw Yeshua. I saw Jesus. And I'm like, what? I'm drumming here. I'm trying to keep everyone in the zone, and I'm responsible for them, and he's walking towards me. And, yeah, that was very, very profound. And he said, don't you remember me? And he put his hands on my face, and it was very, very profound, and I was trying to keep it together, and I'm emotional now. And it was just the most profound experience, you know, to be connected. And anyways, when I work on people, he steps in sometimes to help with the healing and that sort of thing. But I had a real connection with him, and it was really profound trying to keep it all together, and this is going on. In the meantime, I'm drumming and I'm watching everyone, and it's like I'm in two different places. So that was very profound. And I
take us where you were going to take us, and then I'll ask.
Okay. And my experience with meeting Michael was, I was, even years before that, I was getting acupuncture on the face of all things, and I was laying there on this bed, and he appeared. And I went, ooh. And I, all of a sudden, I started bombarding him with questions. Oh, Michael, what about this and that? Because, you know, on the old age-old question, what's my purpose? What's my mission? And he said, he looked at me, and he said, are you happy? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, then you're living it. And, and that was the end of that. So that those are my experiences that I can mention. Yeah.
That's nice and simple. The happy response. So how did you come to be doing shamanic healing and all of that? Like, take us to the beginning of when you started working with energy or being aware of it.
Oh, okay. So I worked in the pharmaceutical industry and then in the natural remedy industry and in sales, and it was a very stressful time. And I was dealing with a lot. I worked a lot of hours, and I was very heavy into other things like volunteer work, looking after elderly parents, looking after young children. And my body started to tell me, like, you can't keep doing this. And I wasn't listening, and I got very ill, and I had to quit work. And I was down and out for about 2 years. I was, like, not bedridden, but I was in bed a lot and very weak. And I woke up one day and said, this isn't my life. I refuse to do this anymore. It's not my life. And I had dreams that led me to a homeopathic person or doctor practitioner, but I didn't realize that she was also a medicine woman, Ojibwe medicine woman. And when I went, she put me on the table, and she was doing some shamanic healing on me, and all of a sudden I took off out of my body, and I just traveled around, and the more and more I went to see her, the better I got, and I had all these experiences, and I went to see every natural healer I could. So I went to traditional Chinese medicine and biofeedback, all sorts of things, Reiki, and anyways, but it was the shamanic healing that really resonated with me. And so I sought out a someone that was teaching shamanic healing, and I signed up for the course when I felt well enough to do it. And it was like I was built for this. It was almost embarrassing. It was, like when you're in a class and you know the answers and you're afraid everybody's going to hate you. You know, you don't want to be the goody-goody and relay all your stories, because he would say, you know, go meet your guides, like, with this journey, we're going to do this. And I would go, I'd meet all these grandmothers, I would meet all this, I would have conversations, I would see things. And other people would come back and say, well, I think I saw a fish. Or I saw the color purple, and I just kind of kept it to myself. Because after a couple of times of relaying it, I thought, No, just keep it to yourself. You don't need to let everybody know this. Let them have their experiences. And so anyways, it was just like a natural fit for me. And then I went on to make my own drum. And I had an experience birthing my drum. And it was just like I was connected. And when I drummed for people, it's like this portal opens. And people just love it when I drum. Like, it's just like this healing comes through. So I got into the shamanism that way, anyways, to answer your question.
So how would you define what shamanic healing is?
Well, for me, you know, it's the way I was taught was the Michael Harner way, you know, the core shamanism. But to me, shamanic healing is just understanding we're all one. We're all one with the universe. So the plants, the animals, the birds, everything, it's all one energy. Like, we're all one. And it's just accessing these other realms for healing. I know I'm not explaining it well, but, you know, it's not something I take lightly. And I feel that people, when we do this, people have to be in a space where they're protected and they have to have full intention. It's not a party trick.
Yeah.
You know, where some people go and they travel and they go to different countries and they take drugs and this and that. To me, that's very worrisome. And if you're doing it, you know, for people listening, if you did it, you had a fantastic time, God bless you. I'm not criticizing you or judging you. It's just my philosophy that you're letting in other things when you open yourself up and you just say, I leave it. I leave it for the experience. I think you need to be guided and protected and grounded. Anyways, and connected when we do this. So to me, that's shamanic healing, but it's just tapping into the realms that love us, that love us unconditionally, and to realize the 3D earth is not the only realm. Like, we have master healers, master teachers. We have power animals that come in to protect us. We are getting messages all the time, all around us. If you're walking out in nature, we're getting messages from animals that show up and things that happen. You just have to be aware. So it's just being aware of, you know, there's many multi-layers to the earth, and it's not all 3D. So I hope that answers the question.
So tell us the story about, I think you termed it birthing your drum.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this was it was really cool for me. First of all, I made the drum. So someone had a fresh deer kill, and I think it was an animal that died, like hit by a car or something. It wasn't killed to make the drum. And so you pick on the hide, you pick what part of the drum or what part of the hide you want to make your drum from. So I picked the spine. I could see where the spine was. I don't know why. That's what I picked. And then you cut it out, and you take it down to the water, and you wash the hide, and you bless it, and you bring it back, and then you stretch it over the wood ring, and then you fasten it. Anyway, so I made my drum, to make a long story short. And then you birth it. So you can birth it different ways. You can take it to a body of water and listen for the song to come through it and birth it. Or you can take it to a community where people drum over it to welcome it into community and birth it. So the idea is to welcome it, bring it into your energy to welcome it, right? You become one with your drum. Instead of just going ahead and playing it and having fun, you know, it's a member of your family almost. To me, it is. So I decided I wanted to birth it on my own. And I had an old dog, and his name was Buddy, and Buddy was not well. Anyways, I thought, I'll kill two birds with one stone, so I'll take Buddy with me when I do this. So I, at the time at the place I lived, there was a stream nearby, and it was kind of hidden away off the path. I thought, this is perfect. And so I went into some trees near the bush, and the mosquitoes were horrendous, so I couldn't go in there. And then I tried to go along the stream, and there was this wire fence that had fallen down, and Buddy got trapped in it. And I go, this isn't going to work. Oh, my gosh. Buddy, and I helped him out. And then I ended up just sitting on the bridge, and Buddy laid down in the sun. And I just started to listen to my drum and play it lightly and said, you know, how do I connect to you? How do I do this? And then a mosquito landed on my face, and I slapped it, and the blood in the mosquito fell on the drum, and it went into the drum. So this blood just went into the drum. And I heard the drum say, I am the bridge between you and the other realms. You know, and I have a part of you and me now. It was really, really cool. And I just started to play it. And I just felt so connected. And it was funny. I happened to be sitting on, I guess it's no coincidence, I was sitting on a bridge.
Yeah.
And all this happened. So when I work with people or I do Zoom live circles or in person, that's the thing people love the most is the drum playing. It like it connects them to divine healing. There's spirit helpers that come in to help them. And it for everybody, it has a different song, a different vibration. I've heard angels sing through the drum. I've heard really, really low vibrations and really high. So I guess it depends. Depends on what's needed.
So what kind of healings have you seen or witnessed or facilitated through your work?
I've seen people from everything to writer's block to they just can't get better. They feel really, really ill. And it's almost like understanding how it works with me anyways. And I'm not that smart compared to spirit. I just channel through the healing and I just listen and put my hands on where I'm guided, play the drum when I'm guided. I use essential oils. I put the oils on and sometimes I put crystals on people. The different healing, so the different results, I had an experience because I didn't know how to do remote healing, distance healing, and I belong to a mediumship group, which isn't my strength, mediumship, but I like to be with like-minded people. And I was describing this young man that I saw, and someone said, well, that's my nephew, but he hasn't passed. He's alive. And I kept seeing him, and you know, I went home, and I was talking to someone on the phone, and he came through, and they even saw him and described him. And my friend, they were looking for a first mate, because his nephew was First Nations. So they were looking for a First Nations shaman to help him. And everyone they talked to was too busy or wasn't available. And she said, you know what, why don't you do it? Because he keeps coming to you. And I said, well, I'm not First Nations. And she said, no, that's fine. So anyways, he lived a few hours away from me, and he was on a reserve, and they only had telephone service, cell service for 2 hours a day, which is weird, but unfortunate. But that's what they had. So I arranged that they would call me, the mother. And I didn't even speak with him. And I just said, just ask him to lay down somewhere. And I just started to summon in his spirit helpers. And they were working on him. And the energies came through. And then I said, well, but I guess that's it. And, you know, and I hung up. And he came out of the bedroom. And he just started doing chores. And he washed the dog. And he go, what did you do? He's like, different. What did you do? And I said, I just sent energy where I was meant to. And then I worked on him again and never spoke to him. And he stopped hanging around with kids that were under the influence. And, you know, they were struggling. And the third time I said, you know what? I need to talk to him. So I said to him, go lay out in the field, hell. And he was talking to me. And I said, you know, it's something to do with your ancestral line. And I just worked on him, and that was clear. And I that was it. And then I've never met him. And he, you know, and when his aunt has parties, he goes, is that Denise? Is that her? And no, I've never been there. And he goes, oh, she saved my life, you know. And I've never met him. So that was a wow. Very different experience. I think I'm just the people that are meant to come see you, come to you. And I always say that I'm here to help the light workers so that they can go out and heal others. So I've had people come to see me that are at their wit's end. Like they're trying to escape abusive, toxic relationships, or they're suicidal or whatever. And they're light workers that just have to work through whatever they're struggling with. That's what I do. But lately, it's more I'm helping people, and I think that's why we connected, is I'm working on people in groups on a bigger scale that when I do the drum healing, and that it helps them. And there is so much chaos right now. There's so much scariness, fear porn, or whatever you want to call it. People are struggling. And just to help them and to give them, let them understand that the light has won, that we're just shifting through, and this is a major shift for the earth. It's it's the Great Awakening. And, you know, sometimes we have to be released from these organizations that we either work for or we're going to see or whatever. And if this didn't happen, we probably wouldn't be released. And once we're released, we're free to go on and build the world that we're meant to live in, based on love and peace and freedom. So, and I can see it clearly. That's what we're headed into. So it's not all doom and gloom, and there's so much misinformation coming from all sides, all sides. You know, one side isn't right and one side isn't wrong. It's coming from all sides. And this is where we focus on what we want, not what we don't want. We just take the steps to move ahead and build the life we want to live. And when we're in a higher vibrational state, that's what we attract to us. And this is the way the new world's going to come in, is when we're in high vibration, because there is no dark that can hide when the lights are turned on. And the brighter and brighter it becomes, is we're in the light. Yeah.
Well, that's the challenge, and that is why we connected absolutely. At the times we're in, the time is now to be doing the work, and the lights are going on all over the place, and there's lots of crazy dark, and, you know, the most adept light worker is still going into fear and, you know, collapsing around it. We're at unprecedented times, and the support is needed more than ever, because we know that in theory, but now we're being put to practice with, you know, like I'm in Canada, I can't travel, I can't go out, I can't, you know, without a vax pass, which I won't, you know, it's just personally from day one I was guided to stay away from putting that in my body.
I'm Canadian too.
We've just now heard our prime minister say they're going to tax us, maybe stick us in our house, not let us go buy food. I mean, it's crazy, right? So, you know, how do we keep our vibe high as we're the shoes coming down to squish us like insects, right?
Well, you know, I keep getting the same message from Spirit, and it is to do five things. And the first thing I say, and this wasn't one of the five things, is just disconnect from mainstream media. Just disconnect as much as you can from all these scary stories. Get out into nature, ground. But I know that sounds airy-fairy and light. People are going, well, hey, I got real issues here. So these were, anyways, the five things. And if we can just do a little bit every day. So the first one is to meditate, and that is bringing energy in. To me, that's bringing energy in. So you're connecting, and you're bringing in messages. You're bringing in love from God. You're bringing in support. You're just connecting. You're bringing in peace. You're bringing it in when you meditate. And when you go through your higher self, that is the pure source. That is the highest point of creation, when you go through your higher self. And it's wonderful to connect with the angelic realm and ascended masters. But when you go through your higher self, it's pure. Nothing can interfere with that. So we meditate. And the second thing is to pray. And pray is sending energy out for the well-being. You're wishing well-being for yourself and for others. And you're sending out your light. You're sending out love. So pray. The third thing is prepare. Prepare. And it preparing in what gives, and that will give you comfort. So preparing on a physical level. So if you think you need more groceries or supplies or whatever, and looking after your body on a physical level, take your supplements. Take, you know, boost your immune system. On a mental level, disconnect from what feeds you fear, what scares you. Connect with high vibrational music, meditations online, or people that are happy. And then there's the mental, again, disconnect from what, you know, what scares you. Do what brings you joy. And then the fourth thing is community. 2022 is the year of community. This is where we get together with like-minded people that lift our vibration, that make us feel good, that we can have a good laugh with, or we can talk with, and they understand. So it's very, very important to get with community. And this is how we're going to build the new earth, is when we break off into communities and we help each other. So you need help with that, I'll help you, and you can help me with that. And and it's not about sharing fearful stories, it's uplifting each other. I do have a Telegram community, White Light Healer Group, and it's welcome for anyone to join, and we just share uplifting things, uplifting stories, and we share with each other. So even if physically we can't be with people, we can still find these communities online. It's wonderful, though, to connect with people in the person, and there is people still getting together personally, and they just uplift. You feel really, really good, and you know that you're in it together, and you know you're going to rise above. And the fifth thing, Spirit told me is focus on what you want. Not simple. Focus on what you want. So if you want to build a business, and this is a major manifestation time, it's huge. You know, we just went through the 111 portal, like January 11th. Huge manifestation time. So focus on what you want. You know, how are you going to help the new earth? Move ahead. Get on the 5D timeline. Don't, you know, pick what timeline you want to be on. You know, and so if you have been released from your employment, well, what do you want to do? You have an opportunity now, you know, and this isn't going to last forever. This situation is not going to last forever. So let's help it through. Let's focus on what we want and not to focus on what we don't want. And manifestation is a double-edged sword because we can manifest. We're the co-creators. We humans are very, very powerful, and we have the ability to co-create. So those with the dark agenda can't co-create. They don't have the ability. They need to scare us into co-creating. So let's co-create the light, light-filled opportunities and how we want to help people. And what I would say is don't feel your backs in a corner. Don't consent to something that doesn't resonate with you. So if you feel for your children, don't put them in a situation. It's only a few months. You know, do what's right for you and your loved ones. And I guess, you know, because we are looked after, we are supported. When we connect, there's many stories of miracles, you know, people have written books or whatever, in the worst types of situations, and all of a sudden someone appeared to guide them, or a book appeared, or, you know, supplies or food or whatever, an opportunity. You know, we will be guided through this. So just connect. Stay high. You're not alone. You're not alone at all. So does that resonate?
Absolutely. I love those. Spot on. My biggest thing I get reminded from my upstairs team lately is I'm sort of the more the physics of the metaphysics, but knowing and remembering and being acutely aware at all times that our mind is literally a transmitter and receiver, and that, you know, we've got to be very aware of what we're transmitting right now. You know, we've talked to people like David Icke and Stuart Wilde, people talking about these times for a quarter of a century. And I, in the back of my mind, I knew it was coming, but I would always be like, yeah, that sounds messy. What's that really going to look like? Well, here we are. So we have to do the work, and community is key, absolutely. But all five of those are spot on. So I've got a little bit of background noise because my puppy is having a cough. She's got a collapsed trachea that activates in time. So I'm trying to talk over hacking, but you might be coming through.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, good. So future shows, what do you perceive doing on future shows?
You know, a mixed bag, whatever, you know, what I usually do is things that come to me. Sometimes I give channeling through my higher self, or sometimes the Council of Light, because things happen during the week or maybe the last month. And it's helping people cope. It's messages coming through. I do card reading sometimes, what messages the spirit wants us to have. You know, but it will always end with a drum healing and perhaps light language activations. It's, you know, we are ascending and nothing will stop this ascension. Nothing. So, we have to prepare for this. And, you know, and this is another thing, these energies coming through. This was a message I was shown last week. We say all these ascension energies are coming through, and we just think of it as waves, but actually there's a second component to that. So these waves come through, and we may feel in a bubble of bliss, we may not feel so great, but they come through. They're activating our DNA, but they're also like our cells are letting go on many different levels of what is no longer needed, and we are purging. So if we picture a wave come in, let's say we're standing on a beach and we're in the sand and a wave comes in and it feels wonderful. We can feel the salt water and salt's healthy and it's going around us, but then the wave recedes and it pulls at us. And we may feel the sand underneath our feet shift because it's pulling back. And so this is just like these waves, these ascension waves. So we may feel unstable, we may feel ungrounded, and also we're purging. We're purging what is no longer needed. And it could be, you know, past, present, future. What are we purging on a physical, mental, you know, emotional level? And, you know, when we purge, we don't feel well. We don't feel well. So it's a cycle. So we're purging until the next wave comes through. We have to do this. And most of the people I know, we don't feel that great. I feel like crap some days. Some days it's hard to connect. Sometimes I'm on the toilet, you know, like maybe that's too much information. I don't know. Or, you know, or we have a cold or something, right? We are nauseous. You know, that's part of the process too. So, you know, when we understand that, maybe we can accept it better. You know, we're not hard on ourselves. I have so many people say, I can't connect. I've lost my connection. And I go, no, you haven't. You're just purging right now. And you know, this will pass and then you'll be connecting. Right now it's a rest period. It's a rejuvenation period. You know, your body needs that. And then you'll be a step up.
That's hugely important and not really being addressed enough, I think. You know, the purging that's going on is on every level. I've had the strangest thing in the last year, just random events through, like, memories. Clear as a bell coming back to me constantly to be, you know, looked at and cleared out or whatever, like, clear as a bell, almost like a life review, but just, you know, slowly over a year while you're alive, or a couple years. Have you heard of that happening to a lot of people?
Oh, it's happened to me. You know, yeah, when I work on people too, past life trauma comes up and it's released, especially for the light workers who have been healers in other lives. Mm. You know, we've been sliced, diced, thrown off cliffs, burned at the stake, drowned, you know, it hasn't been a bowl of cherries. So yeah, we're afraid to step forward. We've got this, these memories like, I had a very vivid memory of being beaten to death with a cross by a cardinal. My hands were tied behind my back and he beat me with a cross, a jeweled cross. And, wow. But I've let that go. But that was, you know, a few centuries ago. And, you know, when we see these things, we take a step back and we ask to view it from a far perspective, so we don't take it on. We just acknowledge it and let it go. And we also thank it. We thank it for the lesson learned. We thank it. And it no longer needs to stay in us.
Yes, and this is definitely something that people need support through, because you can get so easily caught up in labeling and giving it a story of, you know, everything that's happening now is bad, because it, you know, it's like you said, it doesn't all feel good. You know, we kind of went through this phase of it was all love and light and la 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 and we're all one, and, and now we don't know what's going on.
No, and it's in every community. It's in the mainstream, I guess, everyday people community. It's in the truther community. It's in the spiritual community. There's divides everywhere, and everybody has their own truth. Everybody, you know, is coming to terms with their own truth, and we just have to deal with what's inside us. And we'll come to the truth, not to be concerned with what others are saying, or if it doesn't resonate with us, then discard it. That's what I say. We know when something doesn't resonate and it doesn't feel like the truth. And if we're confused, then just withdraw. Just withdraw. I ask people to calibrate to discern the truth. So, you know, they just see how it feels in their body when they make these statements, and you'll know what truth is, what doesn't feel right and what feels right.
Hmm. Absolutely. Here's where we're at, 5 minutes to the top. At the end of every show, I know it goes fast. At the end of every show, we want to do shameless self-promotion, coming from that place of heart and service, knowing that we can't find you through the mainstream, so whoever's listening may very well need to hear what you're about to say. So talking about, you know, any special promotions or events or everything you're offering in general, this is a good 5 minutes to just shamelessly let it rip.
Ooh, okay. Not used to doing that. Okay. So I guess I would say, if you found me, perhaps you're meant to work with me. And I'm going to say, like, I'm here for the light workers. I'm for people that are struggling. You know, I'm here to help those ascend, right, to clear blocks, to understand what ascension is. So whatever's going on with you, if you feel drawn with me, perhaps we're meant to work together. And it's just basically I'm helping people remember who they are. We're enlightened, very, very powerful beings. And we don't realize how powerful we are, and we have the magic inside us. So you can come to my website, whitelighthealer.ca, and see what services I offer. I do distance healing. And every distance healing is different for everyone. And you can see the description of what I do there. Or I can do in person when the times allow. And I also have a channel on Rumble, White Light Healer, and I have past videos on there. I do live videos on Zoom every Tuesday night, and you can find that through whitelighthealer.ca, or come to my Telegram community, and everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. If you feel like you want to connect with like-minded individuals, there's no fear porn. It's all uplifting and supporting and coming together. And, you know, and my next radio show, which I'm very, very excited for here, is February the 10th. And please join me. And I'm going to also, when I have the radio show, I have good friends that are healers too. And I may bring them on and interview them, and they can. I have a friend who's a fantastic intuitive, and she can pick up messages for you. And I'll also do drum healings, light language activations, which opens us up. And I also have some tips on how to handle ascension, how to handle the chaos right now, and tips on what to find in a energy healer, what questions you should ask. You know. Yeah, so it's a mixed bag, and I hope people come if it calls to you, and, you know, we have some fun together because we're meant to enjoy our life. We're really meant to have fun and to laugh and not to be so serious, and, you know, I hope I can help some people because that's my goal. My goal is to reach out and help community because we're coming into this beautiful new world. We really are. It's not a myth. It's not a wish. It is happening 100%. So let's speed up the timeline here and help each other out. And, yeah, so I hope that resonates.
Absolutely. Yay. I'm so glad that we connected. It's an intuitively driven effort to connect to the right people these days, and I'm so excited as well about your next show and all that you bring forward to the table. So again, Denise Eckler is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Her show is White Light Healer, and next one's February 10th, and you can find all the info there. In the meantime, it was great talking with you today, Denise.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. I'm so happy you reached out to me, and thank you so much. And thank you to anybody who's listening.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. You can find Denise Eckler all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more, I think, in 1 hour. We've actually got an hour break. And you can find out more about that, newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Stay focused. Stay strong. News for the Soul will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser-known realm to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder, journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul Broadcasting to uncover deeper truths and techniques to best maneuver through these very challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve you in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover new hosts and radio shows, and to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interview with luminaries of our times, speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive, empowered focus are crucial elements right now for us all. Stay focused. Stay strong. For over 20 years, we've known this simple concept to be true. What you focus on expands. That is more important than ever in 2020 and beyond. In times of social distance and lockdown, we must connect with our community more deeply and more often, and we are here for you. Our live shows and our show archives are always totally free to hear anytime. Just go to newsforthesoul.com to tune in and find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so that others can avail themselves of this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com. Stay focused. Stay strong.